Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we want to revisit what's become a heated debate. We heard a bit of it yesterday on this program over the state's privatization law, the so-called Pacheco Law. It basically requires that if a state agency wants to hire a private company to deliver a service, it has to prove that it would save the state money, that it would cost less than for the state to deliver that service.
The issue is front and center these days because of the new state budget, which was sent to the governor yesterday. It contains a provision to exempt the MBTA from the Pacheco Law for 3 years. The governor has long opposed the law, but yesterday on our show, Senate President Pro Tem Mark Pacheco defended the law that bears his name.
We want to have transparency, accountability, and we want to ensure that the taxpayers are going to save money before we contract out services. That's what the Pacheco Law does.
But we also heard from Gregory Sullivan, research director at the Pioneer Institute, who said the Pacheco Law has cost the state close to $500 million in potential savings.
Let's put the truth to this. This is the most extreme union protectionist legislation in the United States.
So which is it? Does the Pacheco Law deliver transparency and accountability to taxpayers, or does it protect union workers at the expense of taxpayers and make it too difficult to privatize some services? To help us cut through some of the politics of this debate, we're joined by Frank Phillips. He's the Veteran State House Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. And Frank, good to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
So let's talk a little bit about the history of this law, which was created in 1993 in response to then-Governor William Weld, who was pushing several privatization initiatives. Can you remind us a little bit about why this law came about?
Sure. You have to, first of all, the backdrop is Weld had come in with a lot of feelings of anti-democratic, anti-union feelings in the 1990 election. If you remember, 1989-90 was the great fiscal crisis up here, and Mike Dukakis and the Democrats were on their heels, and there was a Republican surge, and Weld and Cellucci won the race. And they came in, and one of the things they wanted to do, were there a number of state mental hospitals that and human services programs that they wanted to privatize, and they started to do it. And there was a lot of criticism of those, privatizations that some people were, you know, workers were being laid off, and then they'd have to go to work for a private contractor at a far lesser wage and none of the benefits that they had had as a state worker. So there was a lot of controversy about that. So some of the labor unions, using the muscle in the Democratic legislature, got passed the Pacheco Law, which was what you described it as, it prevented, in a willy-nilly way, of just any they just couldn't privatize the whole state. It was to put a brakes on it.
And specifically, what does it do? I mean, how does it do that? Is that basically it, that there's this litmus test that if you can't prove definitively that it saves the state money, you can't outsource this service?
Yeah. There has to be a proof that it is going to save money, and it has to be approved by the state auditor. It has to be looked over. And, you know, the state auditor's office has, you know, approved 75 to 80% of those that are forwarded to it. So, you know, it's been approved from that direction, but it has had, as I think, in balance, been gotten some privatization done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's decimated the unions. It's a very hard, very difficult subject to get your arms around.
Well, it really is. And here's the challenge that we were all talking about this morning on Radio Boston. I mean, Meghna did a great sort of conversation with Gregory Sullivan of the Pioneer Institute yesterday, who described his study of the Pacheco Law. And he looked at a couple of cases dating back to 1997 in which private contracts were rejected because of the Pacheco Law. And based on that, he said the state lost an opportunity to save close to $500 million.
He's the gold standard. I mean, he's very good at his research. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah. But then we heard from Senator Pacheco, who told us those contracts were rejected because they were flawed. So, I mean, I guess as a listener, I'm just thinking of the listeners out there, even as a journalist, I'm trying to make sense of, as you say, Gregory Sullivan knows his business. But
Anthony, I'll meet you down at the State Archives. We'll pull those 97 contracts out. And we'll spend, you know, 3 months, you know, dusting them off and comparing figures, and maybe we can come to some conclusion.
Right. So is that really the issue, that it really is hard to sort of figure out, to compare costs between state agencies that are providing specific services with a hypothetical bid from a private contractor?
That's part of it. It's how you look at it. You know, what values you give to it, how you interpret the data. It's all those kind of things, and it can be somewhat subjective. So it's hard. It's hard on each contract. You know, I saw the report, I read it, and you say, wow, that's outrageous. And then Pacheco comes back and say, well, you know, there were a lot of flawed data. Even the state auditor said this was a bad contract and should not, you know, that should not be used as an example.
Yeah.
So who do you know? I mean, well, so, do you know?
Well, so here we are today. If the governor signs this budget, and I guess we have reason to understand that he will, we're going to have this 3-year suspension of the Pacheco law for the MBTA. So I'm wondering, would that provide useful data so that we could better evaluate the pros and cons of this law, you know, a few years on?
I would think it would. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be interesting to see what happens. And you know, I think if everything is taken into consideration, you know, what is the impact on workers? I think that the unions do have an interest there, and I think it's a legitimate interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not all about you know, how we can get the cheapest thing out of privatization. People get hurt there, and I think the unions have a point, but the taxpayers have to be protected too. And if it can be more efficient and a better way to do it, it has to be looked at.
All right, and out of that, of course, comes a very spirited debate, and I guess it's safe to say that will continue. Frank Phillips, he's at the State House, he's the bureau chief for the Boston Globe. Frank, thanks for talking us through the politics and the history of this. We appreciate
it. Sure, absolutely.